The truth that I want to share today, it kind of fits in our series, but the truth that I want to share with you is very simple, yet in some ways so profound. So in the simplicity of this message, let's not miss how profound this truth really is. And the longer you've been a Christian, the more easy it is to take this truth for granted because you've experienced it so many times. We're talking about the truth about forgiveness. And I'm not talking about forgiving others. That's vitally important. But I'm talking more about each one of us receiving forgiveness from God. Now, this truth, if you think about it, it starts with bad news but ends with good news. And it kind of has to start with bad news because until we know the bad news, we don't know we need the good news. And so it sort of starts with the bad news. And the bad news is that we've all sinned and that sin, it brings a barrier in our walk with God. It puts us at odds with God. That's all the bad news. But the good news is that in spite of that, you and I, anybody can be completely forgiven and fully restored back into right relationship with God. Now, again, I know we all know that, but I hope today we maybe just get a fresh revelation of how fully that forgiveness really is and how amazing it really is to think that we are completely restored in our walk with God once we are forgiven. So let's start with the bad news. And the bad news is we've all sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've been talking about in this series how sin, the Greek and Hebrew words mean to miss the mark. It's sort of like God's drawn this bullseye and said, this is what I have for you. And sin means we miss that. We go a different direction. We missed the mark. And by the way, as I've been mentioning, God didn't give us that bullseye because he wants to keep us from having fun in life, but he gave it to us because he knows that only when we follow after his perfect order will we really be happy, will we be blessed, will we be safe, will a community be healthy. And that's what God wants for us. And so he gives us the way to live that will lead us in that direction. But reality is we've all missed the mark. And no matter, you know, if you think about who is the holiest person you know, I can tell you this, that person has sinned. I mean, whether you're thinking Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, you know, Grandma so-and-so, whoever it might be, reality is the only exception to this is Jesus Christ. But other than him, every one of us have sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all missed that mark. Now, the bad news with that also is that sin, when we miss the mark, it puts us at odds with God. Now, we've talked about in this series some of the common consequences that we experience because of sin. And I'm not going to really go there again other than really look at the one that to me is the most important consequence. It's Isaiah 59 and verse 2. It says, but your iniquities, that's another word for sin, your iniquities, here it is, have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. That is a sobering verse. I mean, imagine that our sin separates us from the kind of fellowship God wants with us. And you probably recognize that. You probably at some point did something and you realized that you didn't feel as close to God. And you know, usually it's not that God goes anywhere, it's that we go somewhere. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, God still showed up in the same garden. It was them who were hiding. They didn't feel as close to God because they withdrew. Have you ever noticed when you sin, the first tendency is to withdraw? Like, you don't feel like, I'm going to go read the Bible. I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go get together with my church family. No, there's this thing we want to isolate ourselves. And so we end up, there's a wedge driven in our relationship with God, and sometimes we're not even really aware of the magnitude of that. What a sobering thought that God could be at a place where because of our sin, he can't look upon us with that same level of favor. And we can even come to a place where our prayers like go nowhere. And maybe you've been there before. Well, let's shift from the bad news to the good news. And that is that we can be completely forgiven. It says he who covers his sins will not prosper. Life just does not work out as good when we're missing the target. But let's get to the good news. And I love 1 John 1:9. I know I probably quote that verse a lot, but let's just unpack it for a moment. If we notice that forgiveness is offered to us and there's something we can do to receive it. If we. So there's our part in this. If we confess. What does it mean to confess our sins? It means that we agree with God regarding it. It means that we don't excuse it, we don't downplay it, we don't deny it, we don't blame it. To confess means, God, it's all on me, I accept full responsibility, and that's confess. We agree with God regarding the matter. So if we confess our sins, notice the next part, he is faithful. You know, when you confess your sins, you don't have to wonder, I wonder if he'll forgive me this time. I wonder if I, you know, have just sinned one too many times. No, God is faithful. He's forgiven you in the past. He'll forgive you in the present. He'll forgive you in the future. He's forgiven other people. He will forgive you. The one thing you can know about God is he is faithful to forgive us. He is faithful. But notice also it says he is just. He is just. Now, at first, that might be a little scary because we might think, well, wait a minute, if God is just, then I deserve something bad if he is just. Well, that's true, but the reality is his justice was satisfied by the blood of Jesus. So if he did not forgive us on the basis of justice, it would mean that he would be denying the justice paid by the blood of Jesus. And so we know that he is just to accept the blood of Jesus as an offering for our sin. So we can know that it's the blood of Jesus that causes him, his justice to be satisfied so that he can forgive us without violating his sense of justice. He is faithful and just, here it is, to forgive us. Forgive us. And we're going to just for a few minutes just look at that concept. Forgive us. It means that he takes it off the records. It means that he no longer holds it against us. And it's just amazing the depth of that. And so we'll look at that in a moment. But then it says, and doesn't end there. It says, and to cleanse us. Forgive us and cleanse us must mean two different but related things. And when I think of forgiven, I sort of think in terms of, okay, God wipes it clean and it's not against me anymore. But when I think of cleansing, I think of taking that which has been forgiven and now removing it. And so it's not only forgiven, because if we're only forgiven but not cleansed, it might mean, well, I'm just probably going to do this again because it's still there. We can think of it this way. Forgiveness removes the penalty of sin. Cleansing removes the power of sin. And so God doesn't just want to forgive you and then forgive you another 100,000 times, although his mercy endures forever. What he really wants to do is deliver you and I. What he really wants to do is just remove the sin once it's forgiven. And then it says to cleanse us, I love this, from all unrighteousness. Well, if he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, that doesn't sound like it leaves any unrighteousness left. It must mean that we are, as the Bible says, we become the righteousness of God in Christ. He gives us his righteousness, and that's why we can be fully restored back into right relationship with God. Now, when we confess our sins to God, it's vital that we do so in humility, that we do so with sincerity. It's not just a flippant, sorry, God, but there's a sincerity, there's a humility. And once we confess it, the next part for you and I is to accept it with gratitude and confidence. Sometimes it's difficult for us to accept the depth of his forgiveness because we feel guilty. We feel like I don't deserve this, and we don't. But nevertheless, that's his grace, that's his mercy. And so our part is just accepting it as a free gift with gratitude and with such thanksgiving, knowing that we didn't deserve it, but God gave it anyway. And then, this is one of the hardest parts for people, is then we have to forgive ourselves. Forgive ourselves. You know, it doesn't honor God not to forgive ourselves. What it really does is it almost brings into question whether what he did was enough. I mean, if I don't forgive myself, am I saying, well, what Jesus did wasn't enough? No, it's the devil that wants you and I to live under condemnation. It's the devil that wants you and I to think it can't be that easy. You've got to do this work, that work. You've got to somehow pay for it. All we can do is receive it with gratitude. Now, how thorough is God's forgiveness? Let's look at a couple of verses. There we go. I guess I missed that one before. Because Jesus shed his blood to pay for our sins, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. That's, by the way, the Mark Johnson version. That's if you're wondering. The other one has so many big theological words. I wanted to make it simpler. But I thought of that concept passed over. You know, on the movies where they line up all these people and then the witness comes, is it any of those? Can you imagine how nerve-wracking that would be standing there, you know? You know, well, here's the real issue. You and I are all standing there. We're all guilty and God's looking through the window. And what does he do? Instead of saying, yes, it was him, yes, it was her, he passes by. He passes over. He doesn't call us. Wow, how amazing is that. Well, let's go to Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You ever thought about why did he use east and west, you know? Well, if we took a globe and we thought, well, what if he had put it north and south? How would that work out? Well, if you go north far enough, what's going to happen? You're going to reach the North Pole, and then what'll happen? Now you're going to be heading south, right? So there is a point you could stand where north and south meet. Now, I know we don't want to go north this time of year. We want to go south, right? So what happens if we go south far enough? Sooner or later, you're going to be heading north again. You're at the South Pole, north and south meet. But it's interesting. It doesn't work that way east and west. If you head east, you're never going to get far enough to head west. You will always be heading east. Every circle around the globe, you're going east. If you head west, you are always going to be going west. In a sense, the two are opposing directions. They don't meet. And so he says he removes our sin as far away as the east is from the west. Micah 7:19, you will cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. Those of you who are fishermen, how deep are most Minnesota lakes at the deepest part about? Just throw a number out. 100 feet. And that's probably deeper than a lot of Minnesota lakes, right? Some are 20 feet. Some are 100. Some are more than 100. A lot of them probably, you know, 30, 40 might be a good average. But there are some. But at any rate, you know, we think of feet. 100, whatever. You know, that sort of visualize that. Anybody know what the average depth of the ocean is? It is approximately 2.175 miles. Now imagine, like, say, here to Walmart, flipping it this way, and imagine that you're in a cruise ship or whatever, and you can't see any shore, and you drop something overboard, and it goes down 2.175 miles. Guess what? You are not finding that thing. First of all, by the time it hits bottom, who knows where in that ocean it went. Secondly, you're not getting any kind of a device down there to find it. It's gone. I mean, it is gone. I know the Johnson family, they do some scuba diving. I can tell you this, they do not go down 2.175 miles. Or they will get crushed or something bad will happen at that. But that's just the average depth of the ocean. Do you know what the deepest place is? There's a part of the Pacific that is like about 6.8 miles. Now think of 6.8 miles down in an ocean. I mean, whatever is there, you are not finding it. And so the idea why God would use that is that's where your sins are. They're not going to be found. You've probably heard the phrase, the sea of forgetfulness. Well, there's really no verse that exactly says that. But if you take this verse and the next one we're going to look at, that's where the concept comes from. Maybe you've heard it said that God casts your sins into the depth of the sea and he doesn't go fishing for them. He leaves them there. They are there. They're never going to be found. And here's the next verse then. It says in Jeremiah 31 verse 34, it says, "For I will forgive their iniquity. And their sin, I will remember no more." Hebrews 8:12, Hebrews 10:17, both quote from Jeremiah 34. So if he buries them in the depth of the sea and remembers them no more, then they are in the sea of forgetfulness. By the way, when it says God remembers them no more, it does not mean that he no longer is aware. Because if that were the case, that would actually be a bad thing, because if it were the case, it would mean he never could have inspired any scriptures to include forgiveness because he would have forgot about it. We wouldn't have any examples. So it doesn't mean he's not aware. What it means is he doesn't bring it back up. What it means is it is never used against us. He is aware, but he lets it go. It's no longer a factor. It will never be brought up. You know, we're good at saying we forgive and then we bring it back up when there's tension, right? God never does that. Once it is forgiven, he acts as though he didn't even know its awareness. He remembers it no more. In other words, he never again uses it against us. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." Blotted out. You know, in that day, they would write with real ink. And, you know, they couldn't erase it. So if they needed something covered, it would just blot it out with enough ink that you couldn't read it anymore. So you and I, our sins have been recorded. That's the bad news. The good news is once they're forgiven, they got blotted out. There's all these blotches in God's book that are illegible because they used to contain our stuff. But he blotted them out. There's you know, your name is there, but there's all these blotted out things, and all that's left is the righteousness of God in Christ on that list. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, when God blots out our sin, that's what he wants. Times of refreshing. He wants to draw us back, reconnect us in intimacy with him. He wants to restore anything that's been lost in our spiritual life or in our walk with God. He wants to forgive us and bring us times of refreshing. And then after we forgive ourselves, receive God's forgiveness, then he does want us to let the sin go. Don't hang on to it. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. God is so ready to extend his mercy to us. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. The Bible says his mercies endure forever. You're never going to get up one day and ask forgiveness and God says, "Sorry, mercy's all gone. There just isn't any more. There's a shortage." No, there's a fresh supply every day of his mercy. The last thing I'm going to share with you, and I don't know if you really thought about this much, but God has already, both before and after being forgiven, he's already demonstrated way more mercy than we probably have any idea about. Let me just give you two scriptures. Psalm 103 verse 10 says he has... Notice the word not. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. What does that mean? Well, that means that while there are consequences for sin, if God allowed the full consequences to hit us, we'd all be toast. Because that's what justice would call for. That if God dealt with us like, here's my sin, and if God dealt with me 100% accordingly, I couldn't survive. If God punished me according to the level of my sin, I could not be punished and still live. It would not be possible. So you and I are alive today because while there have been consequences, they have been tempered with the mercy of God. It's so that whatever's come our way, it's so much less than we really would have coming. So what an amazing thing. He has not dealt with us according to our sins or punished us according to our iniquities. One more verse, Romans 4, 7 and 8. And this is a quote from Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Wow, you and I can be walking that blessing of being forgiven, of knowing God's not letting come our way what we really deserve. Would you stand with me? We're going to close in prayer. So we've seen this morning, the bad news is we've all sinned, puts us at odds with God, but the good news is that he's here ready. Price has been paid for you and I, no matter what we've done, no matter how many times, he's here to forgive us. He's here not only to forgive us, but cleanse us. He's here to wipe the record book clean. You know, can you imagine this? Can you imagine if you had committed a crime worthy of a life sentence in prison? Can you imagine if you went to the judge and said, Judge, I really did this, I know, but would you just please forgive me this time? Can you imagine a judge banging the gavel and saying, okay, case dismissed, you're welcome to go. I mean, we can't even, and also expunge the records, please. We can't imagine a judge doing that, but that's what God does on our behalf because of Jesus. While we close in prayer, the Holy Spirit may be talking to some of you. The Holy Spirit may be saying to some of you, this is for you today. This is the day to confess before the Lord. If God's dealing with you and you feel like during the closing prayer, you want to come up and I'm not going to ask you anything as far as, you know, why you're here, what your sin is. I'm not going to have anybody else ask you. That's between you and God. But if you kind of feel like God's doing something in me today, I want to come and just confess to God. I want to receive that forgiveness. I want to receive that refreshing, and I want to just encounter the magnitude of his mercy. So if that's you today and God's tugging on you, just respond to his call. Come forward again. We won't ask you anything. We're just going to pray over you and pray for all here. So as I close in prayer, prayer teams also that are serving today, make your way to the front. And after the closing prayer, if you want prayer for anything, there'll be people here. But again, if you just feel like you need to come and spend a moment or two in God's presence, feel free to do that. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, God, for the extent of your mercy. Lord, we realize this truth in some ways is so simple and yet so profound. And God, I pray that today we will be encouraged by this simple but profound truth. Oh, Lord, where would we be without your mercy? Where would we be if you had dealt with us, Lord, according to our sins? So we thank you, God, that your mercy has tempered anything we've encountered as a result. We thank you. We thank you, God, for those today who are sensing the Holy Spirit is quickening them. I thank you, God, today they're going to walk out with the righteousness of God in Christ. They're going to walk out, God, clean, pure, in right relationship with you, fully, fully restored. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can be forgiven. Thank you. We receive it, Lord. We receive it, oh God. And Lord, we forgive ourselves. We refuse to get under condemnation. But oh, we accept your forgiveness. Oh, with gratitude, with humility, with thanksgiving. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, let this truth just sink into our hearts today, Lord, into our consciousness, Lord, into our spirit. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that it is such good news, such good news. And Lord, I just bless every person here today, every household here today. Lord, fill our homes with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as the word came out, may we be faithful this week, God, to share your goodness with others. Lord, wherever we are, may we be your mouthpiece, Lord. Your hands extended, your heart extended to a broken people. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You're welcome to go or come forward if you'd like prayer. Or if you just want to spend a moment or two before you go, you're welcome to do that.